August 22, 1926. The acts done in the divine will assume the image of the divine qualities. What privation of God means, and how the sovereign queen suffered this privation. What it means to be the head of a mission. I feel as though immersed in the eternal will of my adorable Jesus, and as much as I can, I do my round throughout the whole creation, to keep company with all the acts that the divine will operates in it. But while I was doing this, my highest and only good made himself seen in my interior, looking at all of me, counting all my acts, one by one, and placing them around himself to enjoy them. Then he told me, "My daughter, I am making the count of all your acts to see whether they reach the number established by me. And since my will encloses all the divine qualities, each of your acts done in it assumes the image of a supreme quality. Look at them, how beautiful they are. Some possess the image of my wisdom, some the image of goodness, some of love, some of strength, some of beauty, some of mercy, some of immutability, some of ardor, and some, all of my supreme qualities. Each act of yours assumes a distinct image, but there is envy in another, they harmonize, they hold hands and form one single act. How beautiful is the working of the creature in my will. She does nothing but produce divine images, and I delight in surrounding myself with these images of mine to enjoy, in the creature, the fruits of my qualities. And I give her the virtue of reproducing more of my divine images, so as to be able to see the Supreme Being copied and impressed in them. This is why I have so much interest that the creature do my will and live in it, to repeat my works." After this, I was thinking to myself, how hard is the privation of my sweet Jesus? One feels the true death of the soul, and it happens as when the soul departs from the body, while it possesses the same members, they are emptied of life, they are inert, without motion, and have no more value. So does my little soul appear to me without Jesus, it possesses the same faculties, but emptied of life. Once Jesus has departed, life, motion, warmth, are ended. This is why this pain is harrowing and indescribable, and cannot be compared to any other pain. Ah! The celestial mama did not suffer this pain, because her sanctity rendered her inseparable from Jesus, and therefore she never remained without him. But while I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus moved in my interior, telling me, "My daughter, you are wrong. The privation of me is not separation, but pain. You are right in saying that it is more than mortal, but this pain has the virtue, not of separating, but of joining with stronger and more stable bonds the inseparable union with me. Not only this, but each time the soul remains as though without me, with no guilt on her part, I rise again for her to new life of knowledges, allowing myself to be comprehended more with more love, loving her more, and with new grace, to enrich her and embellish her more. And she rises again to new divine life, to new love and to new beauty. Because it is justice that, since the soul suffers mortal pains, she be substituted with new divine life. If it were not so, I would let myself be surpassed by the love of the creature, which cannot be. And besides, it is not true that the sovereign queen was never without me. Separated, never. But without me, yes. But this did not prejudice the height of her sanctity. On the contrary, it increased it. How many times I left her in the state of pure faith, because, having to be the queen of sorrows and the mother of all the living, she could not lack the most beautiful adornment, the most refulgent gem, which gave her the characteristic of queen of martyrs and sovereign mother of all sorrows. This pain of being left in pure faith prepared her to receive the deposit of my doctrines, the treasure of the sacraments, and all the goods of my redemption. In fact, since the privation of me is the greatest pain, it places the soul in the condition of deserving to be the depository of the greatest gifts of her Creator, of his highest knowledges, and of his secrets. How many times have I not done this for you? After privation of me, I would manifest to you the highest knowledges about my will. And with this, I would make you the depository, not only of its knowledges, but of my will itself. Moreover, the sovereign queen, as mother, had to possess all of the interior states, therefore also the state of pure faith, to be able to give to her children that unshakable faith that makes one lay down one's blood and life to defend and prove one's faith. Had she not possessed this gift of faith, how could she give it to her children? Having said this, he disappeared. But my mind wanted to think about many strange things, and maybe even senseless, and I would try hard to do my acts in the adorable will of God. But while doing this, I thought to myself, if living in the supreme kingdom of the divine will requires so much attention, so many sacrifices, very few will be those who will want to live in a kingdom so holy. And my sweet Jesus, coming back, told me, my daughter, one who is called to be the head of a mission must not only embrace all the members, but rule them, dominate them and constitute himself life of each of them. While the members do not give life to the head, nor do all that it does, but rather, each one does its own office. So, one who is called to be the head of a mission, embracing all that is needed in order to be able to carry out the task entrusted to him, suffering more than anyone and loving everyone, prepares the food, the life, the lessons, the offices, according to the capacity of those who want to follow his mission. That which is necessary for you, who must form the tree with all the fullness of its branches and the multiplicity of its fruits, will not be necessary for one who must only be branch or fruit. Their task will be to remain incorporated in the tree, in order to receive the vital humors it contains, that is, to let themselves be dominated by my will, never giving life to their volition in anything, either internal or external, to know my will, and to receive it as their own life, so as to let it carry out its divine life. In sum, to let it reign and dominate as queen. So, my daughter, one who must be the head needs to suffer, to work, and to do, himself alone, everything that all others together will do. This is what I did. Because I was the head of redemption, I can say that I did everything for love of all, to give them life and to place them all in safety. The Immaculate Virgin also, because she was mother and queen of all, how much did she not suffer? How much did she not love and work for all creatures? No one can claim having reached us, either in suffering or in loving. At the most, they may resemble us in part, but reaching us, no one. However, by having been at the head of all, both the Sovereign Queen and I enclosed all graces and all goods. Strength was in our power, dominion was ours. Heaven and earth obeyed our every wish and trembled before our power and sanctity. The redeemed ones have taken our crumbs and have eaten our fruits. They have been healed with our remedies, they have been strengthened with our examples, they have learned our lessons, they have risen again at the cost of our lives. And if they have been glorified, it has been by virtue of our glory. But the power is always ours. The living fount of all good springs always from us. So much so, that if the redeemed ones move away from us, they lose all goods and return to be ill and poor, more than before. This is what it means to be head. It is true that one suffers greatly, works much, and must prepare the good for all, but all that one possesses surpasses everything and everyone. There is such distance between one who is head of a mission and one who must be a member, that the head can be compared to the sun and the member to a little light. This is why I have told you many times that your mission is great, because this is not about mere personal sanctity, but about embracing everything and everyone, and preparing the kingdom of my will for the human generations. After this, I was following the acts and the supreme volition, which converted all into light and formed a horizon of radiant light that formed clouds of quicksilver. And wherever this light penetrated, everything converted into light. It had the power, the strength to empty everything, filling everything with its most refulgent light. And Jesus added, my daughter, there is nothing more penetrating than light. It diffuses everywhere with enchanting rapidity, bringing its beneficial effects to all those who let themselves be invested by it. The light refuses to do its good to no one, be they people, earth, water, plant or other things. Its nature is to illuminate and to do good, and therefore it leaves no one behind. To all it brings its kiss of light and gives the good it contains. My will is more than light. It diffuses everywhere and brings the good it contains. And the acts done in it form the atmosphere of gold and silver, which is the virtue of emptying all the darkness of the night of the human will, and with its beneficial light, it brings the kiss of the eternal volition, to dispose the creatures to wanting to come into the kingdom of the Supreme Fiat. Each act of yours done in it is a new horizon that you make arise for the eye of the human intellect, to make it long for the light of the good that my will possesses. My daughter, in order to prepare this kingdom it takes work, it takes celestial laws, which are laws all of love. The laws of fears, of penalties, of condemnation do not enter into it, because the laws of love of my will be friendly, filial, of reciprocal love between creator and creature. Therefore fears and condemnations will have neither force nor life. And if there will be some suffering, it will be full of triumph and of glory. Therefore, be attentive, because this is about making known a celestial kingdom, about manifesting its secrets, its prerogatives, its goods, to draw souls to love it, long for it, and to take possession of it.